Shrinking force size and changing force structure are two reasons the Defense Department continues to push for another round of base realignment and closure. The Army will likely shrink the most of any of those services, and they're already looking at 21 locations to return to their home countries in Europe. Most members of Congress still oppose another round of BRAC in the United States. Catherine Hammock is Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment. She thinks the Pentagon is making some progress with Congress.
I think there's much more receptivity to BRAC now than there has been in the past, because I think there's a recognition that as we're being asked to shrink the size of the Army in terms of manpower, we need to shrink the size of the Army in terms of bases, because you can't reduce our operating costs without reducing our footprint. And it's an easy equation that they do in the private sector and the commercial world. If your business is downsizing, you actually downsize your number of locations. We need to do the same.
You quoted a number of $3 a square foot to maintain facilities in the Army. Is that bearing out across the entire platform? Are you seeing that in some of the downsizing you're doing in Europe too? Or are the numbers a little different compared to stateside?
The numbers are a little bit different in Europe, but when we look at the United States, the average cost to operate our infrastructure is about $3 a square foot. We took a look at the amount of infrastructure required to support a force of 490,000, which is where we'll be by the end of 2015. That amount of infrastructure compared to what we have right now is 18% less. Now we're being asked to, by 2020, get down to a force of perhaps 420,000. And that's going to mean we have much more excess infrastructure, over 20%. So what base realignment and closure authorizes us to do is analyze the appropriate amount of infrastructure. And then we put together scenarios or recommendations that go to a congressional committee. That committee then reviews and puts it to the members of Congress for a vote.
Who are the stakeholders that can help you make this case? You told the Association of the Army back in April, the quote is, we need you to be advocates for another round of BRAC because it'll benefit the Army. Who else outside of the Army do you think can be advocates for you?
Some of it is the defense industrial base, and those are people who are modernizing equipment or from whom we buy equipment. We can't modernize the force as much as we would like to because we have excess costs that we have to pay to maintain excess infrastructure. Right now, we consider that it's about $500 million a year in excess costs for that excess infrastructure. That's $500 million a year we could invest with our members in the private sector, the defense industrial base, to perhaps buy more helicopters or better equip our soldiers with modern technology.
That's a similar argument that other officials are making in the compensation area, that money that's being spent on compensation that maybe shouldn't be is detracting from the readiness argument. Is this just a recognition that where we are on budgets today is where we're likely to continue to go budget-wise for the foreseeable future?
Well, the challenge with the Army is our foundation is the soldier. And so our biggest cost is manpower. That cost is right now over 50% of the Army's budget. So if we have budget reductions, some of it's got to come out of manpower. But if the cost per soldier continues to increase because of the rapid escalation in benefits, that means we can afford less in the other areas, which are training, modernization, and installations.
Catherine Hammock is Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment. You announced in May a list of 21 sites that will be returned to their host countries in Europe, Army Defense Department installations there. What are you learning from the drawdown there and the repurposing and returning of that property that would apply in the event you are able to do another round of BRAC here stateside?
Many of those sites that we are returning to the German government are sites that are encroached upon. In other words, the community is surrounding it on all sides, and it has high value to that community. They really want to utilize that property for tax-paying purposes. So the German government is welcoming the consolidations that we're doing in Germany. We're consolidating onto our footprint in the bases as we get smaller. So we're returning warehouses and radar sites. We're returning barracks and housing that we don't need as a force gets smaller, so they can be put to use in those communities. We can do the same thing in the United States. When the army shrinks, we are going to have holes, sort of like Swiss cheese on our bases. You will have underutilized or unutilized buildings that could be of benefit elsewhere. So what we need to do is we need to evaluate where we can consolidate into and where we can consolidate out of. And that BRAC analysis is something we need congressional authorization for.
Now, as you, I imagine as you continue to make the case for BRAC, you hear from people in all of the jurisdictions around every Army base in the United States. I imagine those leaders are asking you for information about how this could potentially affect them. What is the sense that you get from how those conversations are going? Is there a lot of apprehension? Is there a lot of, hey, we're afraid this is going to happen to us next? Or what's the response that you get, or the general sense of what you get from those conversations?
Well, unfortunately, sometimes it's a bit of a NIMBY response. Not in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Yes, reduce the defense budget, but don't reduce it in my backyard. So it's got to be in someone's backyard.
Right.
So when we reduce that infrastructure in order to reduce our costs, some of the communities recognize that we have such a huge investment there that they are probably going to be a gainer rather than a loser. And so some communities have stood up in confidence and said, we do support BRAC. And so we've gotten that from governors of certain states, and we've gotten that from members of Congress who recognize that there can be an advantage. Otherwise, that underutilized infrastructure is a tax both on the taxpayer and on that community, because it's not being put to a beneficial use for anyone.
Is that a common misconception about BRAC, is that everybody's a net loser and that nobody's going to make out? I mean, it sounds like that might be a relatively new concept to some folks who are considering this.
It is to some, but when we look at the examples of 10 years later, bases that we have consolidated out of and returned to the community, you see a growth in industry, you see a growth in jobs, and you see beneficial reuse. So we have to remind people that, yes, there might be a dip for a period of time, but there are positives there. Now, we have had to go out as an Army for a supplemental programmatic environmental assessment to evaluate where that next tranche of 70,000 reduction is going to come from. And that analysis closes August 25th for public comment. So right now we're well over 12,000 responses to that notice of environmental impact. And a lot of the responses are socioeconomic. If you reduce in force size here, it will have a negative socioeconomic impact to that community, because that community is so dependent upon the military base.
Mm-hmm. The National Defense Authorization Act originally included language about BRAC. The House version requires Secretary of Defense to submit a report by March 1st of next year on potential effectiveness of a BRAC round. What do you think will be the lessons learned from the 2005 round that you and your colleagues can use to once again make this argument, this is going to be effective, we're going to see savings right away, and we're going to be able to make a difference in the overall budget picture?
For the Army, the BRAC 2005 round met all expectations. We have saved money, we have reduced our operating costs, and there has been productive reuse. So that's a win-win for everybody. The thing that gets highlighted most about BRAC 2005 is there are about a dozen projects where the costs increase. And those costs increased, and we notified Congress that they were increasing because of increased requirements that we were given. Mm-hmm. Increased force protection requirements, increased requirements for hospitals, increased requirements for security. Those added costs, and when they added costs, we notified Congress that they were adding costs. So it was something that was done with Congress understanding why costs increased from original estimates. So as I said, we met all expectations. We're achieving the savings. For the Army, BRAC 2005 was a win. But also remember, BRAC 2005 was enacted while our forces were increasing and while we were relocating forces out of Europe and out of Korea. So we had to restation forces. So BRAC 2005 wasn't all about cost savings. A whole lot about it was transforming the Army.
Is there anything that you can do stateside to prepare for BRAC in the event that you're ready to do it so that your timeline can accelerate? You were going for around in 2017. You're a year now behind the curve.
We're still going for around in 2017.
Well, and that's where I'm going. What can you do now that doesn't require congressional approval so that you can be ready to move if you are able to turn it around between now and next fiscal year?
What we did is a macro capacity analysis, taking a look at the real estate that we have on our books and taking a look at the requirements we have on our books and analyzing excess capacity. That showed us 18% excess capacity. We need authorization from Congress to go look at a micro basis to find out which bases have excess capacity and in which categories so that we can evaluate where those kind of consolidations can take place. And unfortunately, we can't do that level of analysis without authorization from Congress.